This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا آل بدر لمصاريعكم في ثلاث. And so, what does this mean? Of course, Badr was a place. When she mentions Badr, it was a place that's well known, and it's a place where, like I mentioned, there are some places that people gather for fairs, for festivals, for gatherings, sometimes for market, for buying and selling. And that's anywhere there's water in the Arabian Peninsula, then a group of people can gather. If they're not settled there, some people live in those areas, and sometimes people don't live in those areas. But most of the time, if you're looking for a place to live, you want a place that has water. And so why did the people in Mecca settle? Why did the people settle in Mecca to start with, when there was nobody, nothing there? And why didn't they stay there before? Anybody know? Why did people start staying in Mecca, choose Mecca as a place to stay? Because of Zamzam. Very good, mashallah. The tribe of Jurhum, mashallah. Remember the tribe of Jurhum when they came? What are they looking for? They're looking for the wells. And anywhere there's a well, they can stay there. Because if you don't have water, you can't survive. But if you have an abundance of water, then you can survive. And it's because of the well of Zamzam that people gathered. But then during the time of Khuza'ah, Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i, the well of Zamzam became, later on it became dried up because of the shirk and the disobedience of the people and the shirk that was happening. So later on, it was because of a battle also. They were fighting. Some of the scholars have mentioned that they covered up the well of Zamzam and then they weren't able to find it again. When they dig it up, there's no more water. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hid it from them. But they still had, they had already lived there. Their houses and everything was there. The Kaaba was already there. So where did they get the water from? But you know, if there's a well of Zamzam, remember, during the time before Abdul Muttalib, there was no well of Zamzam. It was just a legendary well. People knew about the well because of the story of Hajar and Ismail. But later on, it wasn't there. And so the well of Zamzam was not there. They used to get the wells from outside. So the water would be brought from outside of Mecca, the wells surrounding Mecca. So it was very difficult to take care of the pilgrims. And that's why the people before Banu Hashim, they were the ones who were, you know, even before the Meccans, the Quraysh, they would bring water from outside for the pilgrims. And it was a big thing, because if you have a large gathering, you have to bring water for them. And it's one of the more virtuous acts, even in Jahiliyyah, to provide water for the pilgrims, because it was difficult to do so before, especially before the well of Zamzam. After the well of Zamzam was rediscovered, it became a lot easier because the well of Zamzam was right there at the Kaaba. And so I'm mentioning this because at Badr, there's wells, a lot of wells where people can gather. So if you're going to spend some time, if you have an army, that's where you're going to go. That's where you're going to go. So, infiru ya ali badr limasari'ikum. And of course, when you have a group, you're racing towards the well. Whoever gets to the well first, what's going to happen? You have control of the water. And the other people don't have enough water. So you have advantage. So anytime you're at war, you want to make sure that you have control of the wells, at least the water. Right? That's what you want to secure first, because that's, it's like, you know, nowadays, if you have a battle, you can send the tanks over, right? But eventually the tanks are going to run out of fuel. Right? So you have to have the supply lines. But in the old days, you have to have the supply lines, you have to have water. You have to have the means to replenish that water for your army. And so, infiru ya ala badr limasari'ikum fi thalath. And then she says, so what does this mean, of course? What this means, this dream means that every single household is going to be afflicted, affected by the battle of Badr. That means there's somebody who's going to die in each household. That's why the boulders going into the household is, that's the death. Death will befall upon every household in Mecca. Every family, every clan is going to have someone who is going to be killed. Who's going to be killed. Why? Because he says, "Infiru ya ala Badr limasari'ikum," to your death. And then of course, who's going to get receive that death? Who's going to be afflicted by it? It's all the rocks that go into every single house. And so when she when she mentions this, of course, Abu Jahl, he says to, he's saying, isn't it enough? Like, look, this is a warning, right? And it's a scary warning. And they know also, like even in Arabia, they know that dreams can be very significant. Especially when you see a dream and you see something, half of it already happening. The warning and the person that thought that was Lamdam. So okay, that means if we continue with this, everybody's going to be afflicted by death. Every household is going to be afflicted by death. And so that's the interpretation. And the people, sometimes the interpretation of a dream is very clear. Like death is mentioned. So everyone understands that, you know, death is going to be, this is something's going to happen. There's going to be death in every family. And sometimes a dream is more symbolic. And so you need to interpret those dreams. And some dreams are a lot more clear. Like I know some brothers, like a brother came to me one time and he says, "Sheikh, I saw a dream that I married a person by this name." And he mentioned that name. It's like, what does that mean? It's like, what do you want me to interpret? It's just some dreams are clear. It's not like, you know, symbolic. There's no symbolism here. Yeah, inshallah, like that. Sometimes some dreams, it's good news. It's glad tidings. It's not predicting the future, because you never know the future. You never know the future because your dream, it's the dream itself, you're never sure. Are you 100% sure? No. You're never 100% sure. Then when it happens, you say, oh, that's what it meant. Right? But some dreams are very clear, very evident. Like the dream of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, there's a lot of symbolism. And so like the dream, even the dream of the king in the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, those are the fat cows and the lean cows, those are symbolism. But here it's pretty clear, it's very clear. O people of Badr, even the place that they're going to die is mentioned. O people of Badr, come to your death. And even the exact day, like in 3 days, somebody's going to call you, and when you go, they're calling to your death. They're calling to your death. Not that only, every single family is going to be afflicted by this calamity. And so, Abu Jahl is hearing, of course, the women and the people of Mecca are speaking about it. And he's not very happy. But he's not very happy. Why isn't he very happy? Because people are scared of the dream. You know, and if they hear this and they know that this is what's going to happen based on the dream, that there are a lot of people who are going to die, are they going to want to go? They're not going to want to go, right? And so Abu Jahl starts to scold and speak against, against Atika. Of course, who's the leader now in Arabia or in the Quraysh after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the uncle, of course, right now, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who passed away before. He used to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who was it that used to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Abu Talib.
When he was the most respected of Banu Hashim, when he passed away, there's only the next person in line who was the most respected of all the brothers, of all the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, Al-Abbas. So he took the charge, took the reign of for Bani Hashim. And so Banu Hashim, of course, was led by Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. And so Abu Jahl, he is from the rival clan, from Banu Makhzum. They're the rival clan, you know, like the Capulets and Montagues, and you know, the old days in the 80s, we had the Crips and the Blood, like, you know, like the rivals, right? In Arabia, it was Banu Makhzum, Banu Hashim. That's why people from Banu Hashim and Banu Makhzum, they didn't like each other. There was a rivalry. There was a very, very strong rivalry amongst each other. And very tribal, and you know, the clan itself, everyone, of course, was, you know, it was split. Even they're all from the Quraysh. But amongst the sub-clans, there was a great rivalry between them. And amongst them was, of course, the leader of the others was Abu Jahl. And he's very, very respected also. And when Abu Talib passed away, it was Al-Abbas. And so he came, Abu Jahl came to Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, and he says, isn't it enough? Like, is it enough that you already have a prophet? What is a prophet? When you say somebody, he's giving a prophecy. What's a prophet, that particular name? And what is it, you know, like for the word Nabi? Nabi is what? A naba.
It's foretelling, talk something.
It's giving glad, not just something small, news, but a big news. Like something that is, you know, like a prophecy is like foretelling something like in the future. Why? Because prophets receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're given knowledge of some of the knowledge of what's going to happen, like in the hereafter and so forth. And so some of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. And so he says, isn't it enough that you have a prophet from you, who's the messenger of Allah, of course, is a prophet. And now you have a prophetess also, like a female prophet, a prophetess also. Isn't it enough? Like he's making fun of Banu Hashim. Right, he's making fun of Banu Hashim. And of course, because Allam ibn Amr al-Ghifari, he's asking them for help. He's asking for help. They all start to march. They all start to march towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards where they would expect to meet the caravan. So what they're going to do is they're going to go with the intention of, what's their intention? Original intention. It was to protect the caravan. So everyone who left with the intention of protecting the caravan. So the Muslims also, why did they leave? They left Medina with the intention of raiding the caravan. But that's what they were intending. And the Meccans intended to protect the caravan. So that's the original intention. Of course, both intentions will be null and void. In other words, it's not needed anymore. So how is that going to happen? Well, Abu Sufyan realizes. He realizes the danger that's coming towards him from the Muslims that are marching out of Medina towards him. And so when he reaches near the area of Badr, he meets a person by the name of Majdi ibn Amr, and he asks him about the position of where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He's asking him, and when he asks, why is he asking him? He's asking him, like, where is this? You know, where are they at? Where is this army? Is somebody coming out? So of course he hears about something. He hears about two riders Some of them mentioned he saw, or there's somebody saw two riders that came towards the caravan. And of course, who are these two riders? These two riders, of course, are two people from the companions that the Prophet ﷺ would send. Remember, he's sending to see where the caravan is, so he's sending the companions to check on them. So when he realizes that these camels that came from Medina, and he notices it, he realizes it from the dung of the camel that has the date seeds in it. So he knows that these camels came from the Prophet ﷺ, which means what? Which means the Messenger of Allah ﷺ knows exactly where the caravan is. Which means he's coming towards, he knows how many days away, how long it is. So now he's going to be in trouble. But of course, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he went very quickly. And he did not want anyone to know also, because when it comes to warfare, information is very, very important. Like the difference between victory and losing is the information that you have. And so the Prophet knows that where the caravan is. And Abu Sufyan now knows that the Prophet also knows. Alhamdulillah. So Abu Sufyan also knows that the Prophet ﷺ is coming. So what does he do? He, instead of taking the most direct route, because when you're going from Sham, there's a route, there's like sort of like a mountain pass that's in the middle, and between Medina and Hijaz, right? There's an area where there's mountains. And so you either go inside, which is the most direct, or you take the coastal route. You take the coastal route, it's like you're going around a little bit. You go back out, and then you come back, you know, towards the coast, and then you're going to come down toward the present day, Jeddah, then you come in. But if you come straight down, then it's a little bit shorter. And you have to also understand that this is the routes that they usually take. The reason why those routes are chosen is because there are wells along the way. Like, you know, any caravan, it's just like for us, right? When you're taking a road, you know, there's specific roads that you go. If you go out of those roads, you're not going to have all the amenities. You're not going to have the rest areas. You're not going to have maybe enough fuel stations if you leave the regular road. So there's two roads, either the coastal road or the direct road. If Abu Sufyan did not know that the Prophet ﷺ was coming, then he would have been surprised. There would have been a surprise attack. Right? But now Abu Sufyan knows. But Abu Sufyan also knows that the Prophet ﷺ also, you know, was coming already. But now he's sure of where he's coming from. Right? He knows where he's coming from, and they're about to meet at a certain area. Like this is the area where they're going to meet, which is in the area close to around Badr. And so what he does is before he reaches Badr, before he takes the coastal route. And when he takes the coastal route, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to know this, right? Because, you know, you don't have satellite imagery and so forth in the old days. But you can only send people out. And if once you send people out, you think that they're there and they take a different route, well, you go there and they're not going to be there. So Abu Sufyan, he takes the coastal route towards the west. And by doing so, he's going to be able to avoid confrontation. Why? Because when you take the coastal route, there's also a mountain pass. And once you, if you come like this, you're going to meet. But if you go like this, by the time the Prophet ﷺ comes, they would have been on another route already. And they would have been protected also by the mountain range. So they would still be able to cross and get to them, but by the time they would get to them, it would be too late. The caravan would have already gone already south, because this was supposed to be a surprise attack. But if somebody already knows you're coming and they already avoid it, then of course that surprise is gone and you're not going to meet the caravan. And so when Abu Sufyan decides to take this route, what he realizes is that he knows where the Prophet ﷺ is coming and where he's going. He knows also that the Messenger of Allah now doesn't know that he's taking a different route, that the caravan is now going to be safe. So he is sure that the caravan is going to be safe because he's changed his route. And so he sends a message again to tell the people of Mecca and to the Quraysh. And during this time, the Quraysh, they had already left. They went to Juhfa already. They've already come out of Mecca to Juhfa to tell them that the caravan is safe. You don't have to come, go back to Mecca. You don't need, Abu Sufyan is sending a message. Says, everybody in Mecca, don't come, you don't need to come. We're safe. The caravan is not in danger of being raided anymore. And most of the people in Mecca, most of the people in the army, they wanted to go back to Mecca. Why? Because that was their intention, to protect the caravan. Now that the caravan is protected, you don't need to go and protect. You don't need to go anymore. But Abu Jahl, he says, by Allah, he says, wallahi, la narja hatta narida badra. He said, by Allah, we're not going to return. We're not going to return. So he swears by Allah. And you might say, he's a non-Muslim. Well, he swears by Allah. That's because he believes in Allah also. The Meccans, they believe in God. The big problem with them is that they associate in worship with Allah. They believe in God, but they don't worship Allah alone. They worship also idols, also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why Allah says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask him, who created the heavens and the earth? They would have said Allah. Right? But they associate with Allah. So he says, wallahi, by Allah, wallahi, la narja, we will not return. We will not return. Hatta narid badra, until we get to Badr. Until we get, وَنُقِيمُ بِهِ ثَلَاثًا. And then when we get there, we're going to spend 3 nights there. And then we're going to spend, فَنَنْحَرْ جُزُور. And we will slaughter our camels. وَنُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. In other words, we will feast. We will slaughter the camels and we will eat and drink. In other words, we will feast. And of course, وَنَسْقُ الْخَمْرُ. And also we will, we'll eat and drink. And we will have the maidens, we will have the women sing, the singers sing to us. Why? And this is, in other words, they're going to celebrate. And they're going to make it a festival. Like, we're going to make this a festival. Right? We're going to make this a festival. And why is he doing this? Because he wants to make, Badr is a place you can gather. And so he wants to make it something like a celebration, a festival. Why? To send a message. But also, if he does this, there's an opportunity, there's a chance that people will make this something that is, becomes a part of their culture. Right? Because some of these events, gatherings, it happened because of something. It happens because of an event. Just like, for example, Independence Day. Why is July 4th special? Because of an event that occurred. And why did they choose certain days? Right, certain days, because some events happen. So he wants to make this an event. He wants to make this as a celebration. Why? Because he wants, وَتَسْمَعُ بِنَا الْعَرَبِ بِمَسِيرِنَا وَجَمْعِنَا. We want to the Arabs to hear about how many people came out to protect our caravan. How many people came out to protect our caravan? We want to hear about how we came out and how we gathered our gatherings here, our gathering and also our coming out to protect the caravan. فَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُحَابُونَنَا أَبَدًا. And so that they will forever be at all of us, all of us. In other words, they'll be afraid of us. And they will know that you don't mess with the caravans of the Meccans. Right? So what he's trying to do is trying to send a message to all of Arabia, okay? The caravan is protected. But you know, we're not going to go back. We're not going to make this a wasted trip, okay? We're going to make this a scene. We're going to make a scene. We're going to make it an event. So that other tribes, other clans and other tribes, when they hear about it, the next time when they see our caravan, they don't mess with it. Because if you mess with our caravan, then we're going to destroy you. We're going to send an army against you. Right? And so that's why, you know, like right now you have, you know, you have some people, you know, attacking ships and so forth, and then people are gathering. And so sometimes people want to send a message. If you don't send a message, then they might continue. And sometimes you're able to send a message. Sometimes you intend to send a message, and then the opposite message happens and you lose. And that's worse. That's the worst that can happen, right? Like, you want to send a message. You want to let people know that, you know, we have, that all the nations of the world are united. The nations of the world are united. Now we're going to send a lesson. So this is out of what? Why is he doing this? Out of arrogance. This is out of arrogance. And that's why when they came out, they came out full of arrogance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions bataran wa ri'a'a an-nas. They came out in full pomp, full arrogance, trying to show off to the people. And of course, what was their main reason? Also to show the force, to show that they are powerful, that they are indeed strong, that you don't mess with us. And that's why some of the enemies of Islam, sometimes they try to harm the Muslims and they harm everybody. They're extremely, of course, cruel. Children, women, everybody. Why? Because they want to send a message. There's no mercy, no rahmah, there's no rules. No rules or that they follow. It's arrogance and it's cruelty. And so this is what the Meccans wanted to do. So what happens? Inshallah. And so we all know what happened. They went to Badr, right? But everybody wanted to come back and they really didn't want to listen. They did not, the real people, they don't want to fight. Right? But it's the leader that's arrogant. Now, right now, if you ask the majority of the people, even the army of the occupiers, if you ask them, they don't want to fight. Like, they don't even, they want to go back home to their families. Like the majority of them, they're like, they don't want to fight. And everybody, they don't want this, but who is it that's pushing them? And even the American people, the majority of the American people are very, very good and peace-loving people. But it's their leaders. Their leaders who are arrogant. And sometimes it's because of their arrogance and also because of their greed. Because they have the backing of, you know, these companies or the military industrial complex, or because of oil or for, you know, economic reasons. But of course they're going to tell you it's all about patriotism and so forth. Right? And so that's what Abu Jahl is going to say, the same thing also. Right? And so they want to what? They really want to protect their caravan routes. There's a financial benefit here, the economic benefit. They want to protect their financial, this caravan route, because if the caravan route is going to be in danger, then it's going to ruin their economy. Right? Because trade is very, very important. That's the lifeline of any country economy, is trade. And that's why just these ships that can't go through a certain area, it's causing so much problems. And that's why everyone is, that's why there's so many military bases, like in the Middle East, because of the oil. It's not trying to, you know, it's not about democracy or anything like that. It's to protect their economic interests. And that's, and so in Mecca, the Abu Jahl, he says, you know, we're going to go. And we're going to go and we're going to party. We're going to feast. We're going to have people sing so that the people will continue. فَلَا يَزَالُونَ يَهَابُونَنَا أَبَدًا فَمْضُ. So let's go. Everyone, let's go. And so everybody, فَأَطَاعَهُ, all the people, they obeyed him, with the exception of Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq. Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq, he took his people, and he's from Banu Zuhra, he took his people, and he says, you know what, we came out, we wanted to protect the caravan is safe, everyone, let's go back. Okay, and if the people don't go back, my clan, let's go back, we go back. So he took back, how many did they have together, all together? The total number that started marching. You remember? 1,300. So 300 returned. So 1,000 left. So 1,000, the rest, they continued to go. And of course, they continued along the way, and until they reached the area that was near Badr. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about, now he doesn't know the army is coming. The news reaches the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The news, while the Muslims are marching to raid the caravan, the news of the army coming from Mecca reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam updates the companions. This is what's happening. And this is what's happening. What do you think we should do? Why? Because they didn't come to fight, and so they didn't come for a battle. They came to raid a caravan. And when you come to raid for a caravan, everyone's thinking, you don't have all your weapons. You don't have all your fighters. You just have a group, a small group, compared to what if the Messenger of Allah were to wait for everybody and he's calling. So he's not asking people to come. Whoever wants to join, they're free to join. We're going right now. It's optional. You want to stay back, you don't have to. Just like many of the other battles, of course, like Tabuk and so forth, the Messenger of Allah ordered everyone who was able to join because they needed the numbers and they needed the fighters. But here, they were not expecting to go. They were not expecting to fight. But now the Messenger of Allah realizes that, you know, there might be a fight that's going to occur, because the Meccans are coming with an army. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also does not know how large this army is. He doesn't know. He just knows that there's an army that's marching towards him from Mecca. So now he has to consult with the companions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقَّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. Like indeed, كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Just like when Allah, when your Lord took you out of your houses in truth, indeed a group of the believers, when they heard about this, hey, they didn't like it. They said, hey, we came, we wanted to raid the caravan, that's easy picking. We're not expecting to fight here. We're not expecting a real battle. We came to raid the caravan. And so But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ. But Allah promises you that you will get one of the other, one or the other. إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ. Either you get the caravan, or you're going to be victorious. Like, you're not going to lose. So Allah has promised you. Already. أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. But you wanted the one without power, without strength, to be for you. But who did they really want? Did they want to fight a large army, or did they just want to raid a caravan? And Allah says, you wanted وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. But you wanted the caravan, the one without strength, without power. In other words, the caravan doesn't have an army that you're fighting. It's just a group. That's maybe 30 fighters against 300. They're going to flee. They're going to run. They're not going to be able to. They know they're not going to win. But وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ. But Allah wants to the truth to be established. Right? The truth to be established. وَيَقْطَعْ دَابِرُ الْكَافِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to cut off the disbelievers. In other words, to finish them off. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might not like something, but it's best for you. So at the end, the outcome is best for you. So the Muslims, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this verse in Surah Ali Imran, mentioning about this about the clash. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the believers. And so, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam updates the companions. He's updating them, he's telling them what's happening, what's the latest news, and what do you guys think we should do? What do you guys think we should do? So the leaders, of course, amongst them was Abu Bakr. He stood up and spoke. He says, you know, O Messenger of Allah, whatever you want, we're with you. Whatever you decide, we're with you. Even if we have to fight the enemy, we didn't come out to fight, but if we have to fight, we will fight. We don't know how big they are, how large they are, what kind of army that is, but we know they're probably much bigger than we are. And they have more resources than us, because we came out to raid a caravan. We didn't come out to fight. They came out to fight. They came out for battle. And so Abu Bakr and Umar, they spoke and they said something similar. They said similar things. And then Al-Miqdad ibn Amr, he stands up and he says, you know, I agree with everyone, you know, who just spoke, Abu Bakr, Umar. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, he says, O Messenger of Allah, Imdi lima araka Allah. Like, you know, just go. Whatever you decide, go with it. فَنَحْنُ مَعَكَ. Whatever you decide, to fight the enemy, or whatever you decide, we're with you. We are with you. Wallahi la naqulu laka kama qalat banu Israel li Musa, idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila innaha huna qa'idun. He says, we're not going to say to you, just like the Israelites, Bani Israel said to Musa, you, O Moses, you go and you and your Lord, go and fight. You go and fight. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam ordered them, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised al-ard al-muqaddasa, you will have the holy land. If you go and fight, you will be victorious. Allah will give you victory. Allah has promised you. So even though, this is, Allah has promised them, but they're such cowards. They said, no, you fight. Why are you telling us to fight? We just came out. And now they just came out from these guys are huge people. They have better weapons. They're stronger fighters than us. We just came out of Egypt, escaped from Pharaoh. You know, now you're going to tell us to fight? Idhab ant, you, O Moses, you and your Lord, you go fight. You go and fight with your Lord. Inna hahuna qa'idun. We're just going to sit here. Go ahead, go. Yeah, this is what they said to Musa, Ya Allah. Look how they treated their Prophet. No trust, no husn al-dhan, no tawakkul, nothing. You go and fight then. Well, and then they, so Al-Miqdam bin Amr said, Wallahi la nuqulu laka kama qalat bani Israeli Musa. We're not going to say that to you. Whatever you decide, we're going to be with you. What we're going to say is, walakin nidhab. Anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna ma'akuma muqatilun. So, oh, you and your Lord, you go, and we will be with you alongside fighting also. That's what we will say. Instead of us staying here like or just sitting down, watching, no, we're going to fight with you. And he says, فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ, by he who sent you with the truth, لَوْ سِرْتَ بِنَا إِلَى بِرْكِ الْغِمَادِ, if you were to take us all the way to the, between Rimad is a coastal city in the coast. And by the way, if they would have gone there, where was that? What would they have done? If they would have taken the road, they would have met the caravan there. So, but he's just saying, he doesn't know. He says, even if you took us to the coast, forget about it, we're meeting them, they're expecting to meet at Badr, right? So no, even if you tell us all the way to go to the coast, yeah, we will go there. And if they would have gone to the coast, they would have met the caravan. But they're not expecting the caravan to be there. Even if you take us to the coast, we would follow you. We would follow you. And we would go, we would also go there with you. And so he says, after that he says, we would fight with you, and not a single one of us would stay back. And so in another narration he says, we will go and fight, we'll be on your left and on your right, and afterwards, of course, and we will be behind you, in front of you. So go, O Messenger of Allah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears. Who does he hear from? He hears from Al-Miqdad ibn Amr, Abu Bakr, Umar. These are all very prominent companions, because not everyone is just going to stand up and speak. So these are very, very influential and prominent companions. But what do they all have in common? They are all from Mecca, from the Muhajirun. They are all from Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ashiru alayya ayyuhal nas. Ashiru alayya ayyuhal nas. Oh people, advise me, please. Everyone, people, advise me. And he keeps on saying this, and people are wondering, what else is there to be said? What else can be said after what Al-Miqdad ibn Amr has already said? Like, what else can we say? Like, yeah, we all agree. And this is what everybody's thinking. Right? Probably everyone's thinking, what else? Ashiru alayya ayyuhal nas. Oh people, advise me please. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then continues, and when he continues to say this over and over again, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he's the leader of the Ansar. Like, he's the one that's carrying the flag bearer of the Ansar. And so he realizes, he says, you know what the Messenger of Allah wants? What's he trying to say? He's mentioning this because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very meticulous when he does things. He's very organized and he thinks things through. He's very intelligent, of course, and he thinks things through. And so he knows right now they're going to fight. The agreement in Bayat al-Aqaba, in the Bayat al-Aqaba al-Kubra, right, the one where the companions took their bay'ah, the promise was to protect. Remember, they invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he comes to Medina, the promise, they promised to protect him like they would protect their own family members if he arrives in Medina. Where are they now? They're outside Medina. the agreement was to protect and fight and defend Islam in Medina. But now they're outside Medina. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want, he wanted to make sure that everybody is on the same page. Everybody's on the same page, that there's no disagreement here. And so Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he realizes this and he says, Wallahi laka annaka turiduna ya Rasulullah. Wallahi laka annaka turiduna ya Rasulullah. By Allah, it's as if you want us to speak, meaning the Ansar, the people of Medina to speak. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ajal, yes, of course. Yes, I want to hear you speak. Because everyone who spoke was not from Medina. And so he says, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he says, فَقَدْ آمَنَّ بِكَ فَقَدْ آمَنَّ بِكَ We believed in you. وَصَدَّقْنَاكَ And we trusted you, we believed in you, we have faith in you, we believed you. وَشَهِدْنَا أَنَّ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ هُوَ الْحَقَّ And we have testified that what you brought is the truth. وَأَطَيْنَاكَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ عُهُودَنَا وَمَوَاثِيقَنَا عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ And we have already given our covenant and our promise to listen and obey, to follow, listen and obey. فَمْضِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لِمَا أَرَدْتِ Said, yes, whatever you want, go forward with it. Go forward with it. He said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ By the one who sent you with the truth. By the one who sent you the truth. لَوْ اسْتَعْرَضْتَ بِنَا هَذَا الْبَحْرِ If you were to go all the way into the ocean, into the sea, if you were to go into the sea, and you told us to go, we go into the sea, you told us to go with it, we would go with you. Not a single one of us. وَمَا تَخَلَّفَ مِنَّا رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ So not a single person. Not a single person would stay back. And he says, indeed, we are a people who are used to war. We are patient, we are strong in warfare. And we are truth, we are really true when we meet the enemy. And maybe Allah will show you. Allah will show you, O Messenger of Allah, that which will make you happy. Fasirna bina ala, fasirna, fasir bina ala barakatillah. So go ahead, take it. Let's go with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So notice he said, remember Al-Miqdad bin Amri says, even if you bring us to the ocean, to the sea, or to the beach, we'll go to the beach. If you get all the way to the beach, we'll go all the way to the beach. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh said, even if you tell us to enter the sea, we'll go into the sea, into the water. And you have to understand, this is something big because the Arabs used to be afraid of the ocean. It wasn't something that everybody of course was afraid of the sea, but specifically the Arabs in the desert, when they see the ocean, that's like, it's a different thing. And that's why, when the Muslims during the time of, they're in time of Umar ibn Khattab, did they have a navy? No, they didn't. It was the first time they had a navy was during the time of Uthman ibn Affan, because Umar ibn Khattab was afraid of the ocean. And so they didn't have a navy. And that's why they have, of course, the navy. It was the Muslims use the word admiral, comes from Amir al-Bahr. Amir al-Bahr. So that was the person who was in charge of the naval forces. Amir is the leader of Bahr. Amir al-Bahr, so that's the word that comes from the word admiral in English comes from Amir al-Bahr, right? Admiral, just like when you don't know Arabic, you're Amir al-Bahr, admiral, it sounds like admiral. Like, and so that's the original word, and it was during the time of Prophet, during the time of Uthman ibn Affan. So to say that, you go into the ocean, like we will listen to you. Forget, you tell us to go into the water, we'll go into the water with you if we have to. And so you will see that we are true fighters. Why did he say that? Because the people of Medina are used to fighting. They've been fighting all their lives. They've been fighting, they know how to fight. They've been fighting all their lives because of the conflict and between the Aus and Khazraj, the Yehud there. It's like it was an area that's constantly fighting. They grew up in that environment. They know how to fight. They've been through many battles. The people of Mecca, on the other hand, they didn't have much wars, except for a few skirmishes or small battles and, you know, here and there. But in terms of real fighting, the people of Medina were used to it. They were warriors. The Aus and the Khazraj, they were warriors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared them. And so that's why some of our brothers and sisters, our brothers in Gaza, like those, they're warriors. They grew up, you know, they grew up seeing, they're not afraid of death. They see death every day. Not afraid of death. They're not attached to the dunya. They're courageous. People who are attached to the dunya, they're cowards. You know, you're afraid to lose this. And lose. They don't have anything. They're the most courageous people. And they, generation after generation, very courageous people. And they're not afraid of death. The people of Medina, they were used to fighting. And so the Prophet, so that's why Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he says, you'll see. And maybe Allah will show you what kind of fighters we are. We will be with you along the way. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very happy. Why? Because everybody's on the same page. Because if you fight, let's say something happens and the Messenger of Allah did not make the shura, maybe some fighter said, hey, listen, this is not what we bargained for. We wanted the caravan. Right? No, but now everybody, nobody can say that, oh no, I wasn't. And also, notice that, did the Prophet ﷺ realize, did he know that the companions would agree? Yes, but he wanted the verbal confirmation from every group, all their leaders. Why? Because sometimes you have a meeting, right? That's why it's very important when you have a meeting and there's an agreement, you don't take silence as an approval. Because in some countries, like I know, you know, sometimes I speak to the brothers in Asia, especially. In Asia, you have a shura meeting, right? And you say, inshallah, you know, this is what we want, okay? We want to do this. Is everybody okay? Everyone go. Right? Like, they don't want to say no. They don't want to say no. Or they don't want to give an idea. Once you make a decision, right? You say, okay, this is what we want to do. What do you guys think? Okay, and then you don't ask each one of them to speak. And then if you say, okay, is everybody okay with this? And nobody's going to speak. And then afterwards, when you start the project, they're like, Sheikh, I didn't like that idea from the beginning. Right? Like, why didn't you say we had a meeting? Why didn't you say anything? I said, well, because I didn't want to disagree with you to make you feel like, you know, like, that's okay. Because sometimes, you know, some, especially Asians, right? Southeast Asia, people in Southeast Asia, like, you know, the brothers from, you know, Vietnam, Cambodia, and maybe Malaysia also. When you have somebody who others respect, they're afraid to speak. Right, they're afraid to speak up. And so like, okay, they just, but you know, just, if they don't say anything, you don't ask them specifically, like, oh no, I didn't agree. Because sometimes a no to them, they say yes, they say yes, okay. But maybe that yes is not a true yes. Right? They just say yes because out of respect. Yeah, culturally. You know, in America, you don't like it, you say no. No, I don't think it is, right? But in some cultures, they don't want to say no. If you make a decision, especially if you have a position of, you know, authority, even if you want them to speak, then unless you say, no, please give me your opinion right now. And then they give you your opinion. But if you don't say anything, so you guys agree? Yes. But then I said, but you said yes. You nodded your head. No, because I didn't want to say anything, because if you don't give them the opportunity to speak. So right here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a position of authority. But he wants to hear everyone, making sure everyone's on the same page. And so that's why he didn't just take silence as something that is, you know, that's acceptable. And that's why, you know, when it comes to, when the exception, of course, with the exception of, in some circumstances, that silence is okay. Okay, like for example, and I'll end it with this, inshallah. You know, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that a person, a girl or woman, who hasn't been married yet, she is known, you call that al-dikr, right? A thayb tustamar. Well, dhikr, idhnuha samatuha. Her approval is her silence. Her approval is her silence. If she doesn't say anything, that means that's yes, that's a yes. Right? And that's because naturally a woman, especially someone who hasn't been married yet, they're naturally shy. Right? And so when you speak about marriage, they're shy. They have a natural shyness. And women, you know, are naturally shy, right? And so if you, let's say a sister who hasn't been married yet, and she is very happy. A brother comes and asks for her hand in marriage, and she's happy. You might not even see it in her face. She might be blushing. Right? She might be blushing. And so when the father says, you know, so-and-so wants to marry you, are you okay with it? Are you okay? Or would you like to get married to him? Are you okay? She's not going to say, yes! If she does that, there's a problem, right? Yeah. No, do you know him from before? Like, what's wrong? Right? So her shyness, natural shyness, is going to keep her from saying anything. So she might be so shy that she won't say anything. She might be blushing. And sometimes she doesn't want to say anything. You know, she doesn't want to say anything. So her silence is her approval. But someone who's already been married, you can't, if she's silent, don't marry her off. She can speak. She's already got married already. She knows. That's gone. After the first marriage, she has to say, okay, yes or no. Yes, okay, I want to get married. But someone who's never been married before, they're natural shyness. You ask them, and they're going to be naturally shy. So Islam respects that. If you're silent, then that's an approval. That's yes. We will marry you off, and we consider that an approval because of the type of person you are and, you know, who you are and so forth, right? And so, but when it comes to meetings, right? When it comes to meetings, you don't want, some people might be silent, they might not want it. So you want to make sure, hey, I want to, you know, especially people who are influential, right? What do you think about this? I want you to speak. You know, I want you to speak because I don't want you later on to come, you know, we agree on this thing and you come later on. Oh, I didn't agree. I didn't say anything. I didn't say, no, you can't come later. I didn't say anything. And that's why when you have a shura, make sure you don't just take silence as an approval. Right? Unless it's a woman trying to get married and she's, you know, she's shy when someone comes and asks for her hand in marriage. And so it's very important that, you know, everyone is on the same page. And then when you move forward, you have less problems. Right? You have less problems. Otherwise, people will come later on, oh no, I wasn't with this project. I didn't agree. And so what happens? Then they say, no, we're going to build another masjid. I didn't agree to do this and I didn't agree to do that. No. So when you're making shura, make sure all the people who are prominent, people who from different, maybe representatives of different groups and so forth, or influential because of their family, make sure that they agree, and don't just take silence as a yes. Try to make sure that they come out and speak also, so that you are sure that everybody's on the same page. Especially when it comes to shura and meetings and gatherings. And Allah subhanahu knows best. So inshallah we'll end it right here. Anyone have any questions? Otherwise. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.